The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be together with you this morning. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been going through the book of Galatians, and we've been seeing that Paul's been focusing on the importance of what it means of being a church family. He's been addressing the issue of this group of people called Judaizers who've come in and said, you've got to follow the law, and as part of that, there's a separation between those who follow the law, that was those who were Jewish, versus those that didn't follow the law, that was the Gentiles. And even to the point of, you know, they had to eat at different tables. They lived very differently. And Paul's coming in and he's saying that when we are all one in Christ, we are not separated by race. He says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And then he goes on and says we're not separated by socioeconomic status. There's neither slave nor free. And then he says we're not separated by gender. In other words, it's not a case of male or female. He keeps coming back to this idea that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one in Christ. You know, and so that's what I've been looking at over these last few months. And we're going to come back to that in a little while and continue on to finish the series in Galatians. But for the month of October each year, we focus on what it means to be family. We focus on what it means to be one as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so today we are going to start with this, and then over the next few weeks we're going to continue on. So today it's a day of affirmation. And then next week we'll be celebrating baptisms, and the following week we'll be hearing from some of our mission partners locally, nationally and internationally. So this week we're going to focus in this first service on affirmations around caring for people and affirming young people. Next week, as I said, around salvation baptism. The week after that is Mission Sunday, and really excited this year. We've got Melissa Morris sharing with us. Melissa has done training for ministry and has done mission work within Australia and internationally. And also we'll be hearing from Marianne Flegg. Now, some of you may know Marianne. Marianne was part of our church here for many years, and then about 10 years ago moved into mission training and now full-time mission work. She is currently in Lebanon. And you're aware of what's happening there. The latest news we received yesterday is that she's moved from Beirut, where they were based, up into a safer place up in the mountains. They have got airfares booked if they need to use them. But at the moment, they're continuing to pray and waiting on God and believing that God is calling them to still minister where they are in Lebanon. So can we really be praying for Marianne and her two daughters, who are there in Lebanon at this time. Today, in fact, let's do that now. Father God, we just lift Marianne and her two girls up to you right now. Lord God, we pray blessing upon them. We pray your protection to be upon them. Lord, we know the heart they have got for the people of Lebanon. We know, Lord, the passion they have to see people who don't know you come to know you. We thank you for the work they have been doing in Beirut. But Lord, now, at the moment, as they are really seeking you as to say, God, where are we meant to be? We pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them and to the leadership with a clarity that is undeniable, that they would know what options they have before them, they would be able to safely exercise those options as you would lead them to do that. And we pray, Father God, your peace to be upon them. Because, Lord, at this time, not just meaning absence of conflict, although we pray for that too in that situation, but, Lord, we pray for your shalom peace in their hearts and minds. That, Lord, they would know that you are God in this situation, that you have them in the palm of your hand, and that, Lord, you would bless and protect them at this time. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. At our 10 a.m. service, we will be affirming young people. But at our 8 o'clock service this morning, most of the young people in that age group this year are actually attending our 10 a.m. service. And so we haven't got young people that we're affirming. But we want to continue on, though, with that theme and that significance of affirmation and ways that that's occurring here at Rangeville. And the first one of those that I want to talk about is actually winter shelter. And I know that winter shelter is not focusing on young people, but when we think about winter shelter, and a little bit of background for those who may not be familiar with it, the Toowoomba winter shelter commenced 4 years ago. It was with the passion and the initiative of a remarkable man called Peter Ruby from Belong Church. And he investigated various models of ways to minister to people who were homeless. He decided on a model that involved churches working together in partnership. He modelled it off what was working in some churches in Victoria. And he then approached a number of churches across the city and said, would you partner together with us, that we might collectively find a way to care for those who are homeless? And so here at Rangeville, we've been involved from the get-go. This is now the fourth year of Winter Shelter that has just concluded. And this morning I'm going to invite Patricia Hugman to come up. Patricia coordinated Winter Shelter this year, and she's going to share with us some of the things that have happened at Winter Shelter this year. So would you welcome Patricia, please?
Thanks, Andrew. Rangeville Church is a very generous church, and we see that over and over again. So I'd like to thank you for your generosity of your time, your energy, your finances and your prayers. As this winter, we ministered to people who were experiencing homelessness. For Winter Shelter, the care we show provides a transition point or place where guests can reflect and gain hope and dignity. They can consider new ways of living. They have the opportunity to make helpful connections and caring relationships that can translate into better health, jobs and accommodation outcomes. So just to share with you a couple of stories from the last 3 months. One of our volunteers arrived for their first shift at Winter Shelter and was helping to greet the guests at the door as they arrived. Among the guests that night was a person that they had already shared a house with previously. This naturally led to a time of catching up and easy conversation. This is just one of the examples of the friendly and welcoming aspects of Winter Shelter. As the teams prepare each Thursday, we often do not know how many guests we may have until well after tea has been put in the oven. But our pragmatic teams always plan to cater for 10 guests. This often creates leftover meals, which then go into the caring team freezer to assist people at a later date. This year, one of our guests suffered from a brain injury, which had led to the instability of homelessness, had major implications on his physical and mental well-being. Through the efforts of Winter Shelter team and the welfare coordinator, this guest was able to find stable accommodation and is now connected with NDIS to help with their other challenges. So this was a really good outcome. Another one of our guests appreciated our care so much, saying that he wanted to give back. He made a point of ensuring everything was returned to the equipment trailer every Friday morning. This is no small task, anyone who is on pack up. He helped us to pack up and pack everything up, folding doonas, mattresses, carting the heavy stretchers and other gear to load the trailer and staying until it was all done. This guest has gained accommodation and a job and intends to volunteer as a helper for next year's winter shelter. As our last Thursday night approached, it turned out that we only had 2 guests registered. A team of 12 volunteers to prepare to welcome just 2 guests did seem a little extreme, until you realise that earlier in that week there had been 6 guests using the shelter, but 4 of these had found accommodation the day before. This gave the team a real sense of celebration as we prepared that evening. I might add that one of those 2 guests was brand new to the program that very week and was able to be placed in accommodation within a few days. Winter Shelter teams across the city work right to the end of the program and beyond. And it is really a city project, as Andrew had highlighted before. This year we had 11 churches across the city and providing accommodation, warm beds and meals on a Thursday night. But we also had another two churches that opened up their facilities on each afternoon from 2 till 5 so that guests could get out of the cold and just have somewhere to sit and relax until winter shelter opened. The winter shelter model itself accommodates 10 or up to 12 people each night to serve the immediate needs of a warm meal and a safe, dry place to sleep. However, that is not the same 10 people each week. Over the course of the 13 weeks or 3 months of winter shelter, we welcomed 41 individual people as guests here at Rangeville. There will have been more than that across the city because some people come in and out with positive outcomes quite fast and we don't see them at all. This involved making 99 beds and then packing them up the next morning. Over 400 meals, that is an evening meal with some very delicious desserts, breakfast, hot breakfast in the morning, as well as packed lunches. Those meals also extend to the volunteers who are there for that evening. The overall aim of the winter shelter program is to assist our guests to find solutions to their complex situations, which have resulted in them finding themselves homeless. I would ask that you would continue to pray for our guests that they can make positive choices and develop in positive relationships over the months to come. However, winter shelter is not the only support for those experiencing homelessness. Ministries continue throughout the year, and I'm sure some of you are aware of those. If you are interested in being involved, let us know. Another major initiative that started this year is a hot breakfast that is provided at Cluley Park, which is the park just below the General Hospital. If anyone is interested in helping either one morning a month or one morning a week, just let us know. And I think that starts at 6 a.m. with breakfast served at 7. So the ministry continues, continue to pray for the people in our community who are doing it tough. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Patricia. Thanks, Patricia, and a huge thank you to all our volunteers who make this possible. We are so blessed to be able to have a facility where people can come and stay and be provided for, cared for. And one of the things that I'm hearing from those involved in that area of caring for homeless people is the success of the winter shelter model, in the fact that it's not just about providing a meal or a warm bed. It's actually about friendship. It's actually about showing care and value for those who are coming in. And what I've also heard then is the level of success in terms of people who have been homeless finding accommodation, stable accommodation, finding employment, and even in some cases finding Christ and a relationship with Christ. And that is a much higher level and is occurring in many other places because it's actually caring for the person, in the whole person, spirit, soul and body, not just for their physical needs. And in that regard, I'm just so thankful for our volunteers at Winter Shelter that provide that spiritual prayer and covering those who are meeting with and talking with people and valuing them for who they are, hearing their stories, sharing life with them, as well as meeting their physical needs. So thank you, Patricia, for your leadership, and thank you everyone who have been involved in that. I want to move on and talk about some of our ministries now for younger people. Now, I've often said that on a Friday night, there is a lot of adrenaline that is released in the foyer. Some people sort of heard me talk about, you know, there's been a lot of adrenaline, a lot of energy, and they thought it was a cliche, a bit of a cliche. A few weeks ago, Lorraine Pankhurst came in one Friday night to speak at Grace Girls, and I saw her walk in and just stand there and go. And she came up to me on Sunday and she said, "I know you always talk about Friday nights, but it's real, isn't it?" And it is. It's remarkable. To see how much energy and passion is here. Now, 3 weeks ago, some of you may remember having walked in here and seeing the whole ceiling festooned with fairy lights. Remember that? And that was the legacy of our amazing youth formal. Geordie's currently on leave, but Ben Southers plays a key role in overseeing the youth formal and playing a key role in the youth ministry itself. And so we want to invite Ben to come and share with us this morning. Would you please welcome Ben?
So yeah, if we could have some of those pictures up on the screen again. I know you saw them a few weeks ago, but some of you may have missed it. So the youth formal was, we talked about it a little bit. I won't go on too long about it today, but it was super exciting. It was the biggest event that we've run every year of the last 3 years. The kids love it. There's a lot of energy that they bring to it. They love to dress up. They love to dance. It's really exciting. But when we look at these photos and we see the young people, and maybe when you guys see young people on like a Sunday walking around, maybe coming out of the youth ministries or running around the foyer, I especially want to talk about the teenagers that sometimes you see off in the corner chatting together. These are the people that come up, that come every Friday that are so excited to be there. And those are the people that we are really passionate at youth about ministering to. And I want to talk about them for a second, because while we might see them off, you know, to the side in a, on a Sunday morning, maybe standing in the rows, there's a lot going on for young people today. There's a lot going on. Life is never been easy, and it's still not easy today for young people. They still have a lot they need to figure out. They're still building their perspective on the world, trying to decide what they believe in and who they're going to be. And that's a difficult and painful process. Every young person that you see is going through a tumultuous time in their life, just by nature of their age. And for teenagers, that can be incredibly daunting, especially with the number of voices that are speaking into their life in different ways. From their schools, to social media, to news outlets, to their parents, to the church, there's a lot going on for them. And not many of those places, unfortunately, are focused intently on creating a space just for them to grow and learn in their faith personally. And so that's what we try and do at youth. So over the year, I did some calculations. We spend 95-ish hours at youth. That equates to about a little bit under 2 work weeks of time that we spend. There's about 15 to 20 leaders who show up every Friday. These are young adults who come to serve the youth and to mentor them. And they spend 2 work weeks of the year pouring into young people. And we spend hours on top of that. That's just the time we spend at youth. There are hours on top of that that go into the preparation and the planning, that go into the setup of this room. This whole room transforms, as you can see in the photo. And that takes a lot of time and effort. So why do we put in so much effort for a night that's just fun? Well, it's not just fun. I want to talk about that today. So at youth, we truly believe, and this is what is the core of it for us, is that young people are in pain and they have a lot to figure out. And we believe Jesus is the answer. We believe that Jesus and accepting him into their life and following him for the rest of their life is the answer. And we believe that we don't want to see young people just come through, be excited for a little bit about some flashy faith on stage, and then walk straight out of the church. That's exactly what we don't want to be. We really, our heart is that the youth that we are ministering to today are going to be the Christian grandparents of tomorrow, that they will raise children who will raise children believing in Jesus, that they would be disciples who make disciples. And so a part of that is it really comes into how we try and run things, that we seek that in the 2 weeks or over there, if the youth come for all 5 years from grade 7 to grade 12, that's 10, 11 weeks of youth that we spend with them. We want each and every moment of that to be encouraging them towards Jesus and away from what else the world might be pushing on them. We believe that our teens need community, that they grow based on their peers and the people that are speaking into their life. So we spend time having fun. Why do we have fun? Because that's when you grow. That's when you make good friends and relationships with other like-minded peers your own age. And it's also where people who are older than you in the faith can spend time with you, and you can grow and model off of their role. And this is so important, especially for the younger youth, to see how the leaders react to different scenarios. And the fun time, the social time, is where we do that. We believe that Christian teens need good words spoken into their life. They need good Christian words spoken into their life. And while many of them may go to a church on Sunday, often those words are spoken above their head about things that they can't understand or about practicalities that don't apply to them. And so we really try and focus at youth about speaking about truly relevant topics. And Geordie puts an enormous amount of time into carefully praying over what we speak to the youth about. We really, really care about what we're speaking into their life. We believe that youth need a place to worship, to find their own way and voice in worship, and to make worship their own. They're not just standing beside their mum in church, but standing beside their dad in church where this is just the thing we do, but they truly are worshiping from their own heart. And so we spend time every single Friday in worship. And the worship team at Youth does a phenomenal job. They are almost as good as the Sunday worship team, and they truly create a space for the youth to find their own voice. And we think that's really important. We also think that it's really important for youth to process their life. We think that people don't change silently, but they talk. So we spend time every week sitting in groups of peers with leaders willing to bounce ideas off of the kids, to talk to them about their life, to talk to them about their faith. And we keep that conversation going every single week, coming back to it. And we keep that relevant to what we're talking about in the talks, but especially in the older groups, we see that it becomes a tight-knit community where they speak about their life, they get to tell each other what's going on for them, pray for one another, and we believe that's really important. And so that's why we do that. But all of those things across all of those parts of youth, the heart at the center of it, is Jesus. We truly believe that young people need Jesus, and we believe that they need to choose them for themselves. And so when it comes to affirmation, we truly believe that youth is about affirmation. It's about saying, hey, here's Jesus. If you want to know him, we're going to encourage you and help you on that way. Thank you.
Anyone want to come to youth group?
Yeah!
It's exciting. Pardon me, it's exciting, isn't it? And so, you know, every Friday night, you know, they have a worship time. Worship team is up here leading worship. They hear the word of God. They get into small groups. They process what they've heard in that message, and then they have a whole lot of fun. You know, what an incredible gathering that is on a Friday night. Kylie's here every Friday night helping children and youth and parents and ministry leaders across all the three ministries. But Kylie and I have had the privilege of coming to the youth formals the last little while. And these are remarkable nights where our youth are really affirmed, where they are blessed, where the year 12s are up on stage and they're being encouraged to, say, transition from youth into the next stage of their life. But this morning I also want to really affirm our youth leaders. Because as Ben said, they it's not just 2 hours on a Friday night. Thursday afternoon, there's a team in here stripping out all the chairs, changing the whole room around, setting up a whole lot of ambience for whatever the theme is for that particular night. Then there's the pack down. Then they put all the chairs back at the end of Friday night so that it's ready for us to come in and be here on a Sunday morning. So there's a lot of work that happens in this room. It's so much more than a Sunday service room. It truly is an incredible space, but it's an incredible space and used so widely in various ways because of people who use it in that way. For those who are wondering about where our youth come from, I'd say it's probably an estimate that maybe about a third of them are people who would be part of a family here at Rangeville. About a third of our youth would be people who attend other churches across the city who don't have youth groups, or maybe they don't connect in or fit in with the youth group at their particular church. And there'd be another group of people who don't attend any church at all. And this is a place where they come, where they are welcome. Their friends are inviting them. Their families are encouraging them, maybe. But it's a place where they are getting the opportunity to hear about Jesus and choose and make decisions for themselves. So, again, can I just say thank you to our youth leaders and to everyone who's involved in praying for the ministry of our youth. Third thing I want to talk about this morning is space pilots. And another one of the joys and challenges of Friday nights has been that we've run out of rooms. That's a great problem to have, isn't it? When there is no space left in the building. And so you remember that earlier this year there was a huge book giveaway as we gave away the books that were in our archive room. We reallocated a whole lot of other resources so that we could create yet another multi-purpose room. We've now run out of any rooms that we can convert, so that's why we need the next stage of the building. But one of those ministries on Friday nights is Space Pilots. It started in August, 59 years ago. So it's been a ministry long-term in the life of this church. And this morning I'm going to invite Scott Lenham to come up and share with us about Space Pilots. Would you welcome Scott, please?
Thanks, Andrew. I'm happy to speak about Space Pilots. He particularly wanted me to talk about how good Fathers and Sons Camp was. And I'm going, well, you could actually do that better than I could because you've been to more of them for obvious reasons. Righto. Right, okay. Some of you may not know much about Space Pilots, so here's a brief description. The club was started, as we say, 59 years ago, in 1965 by Trevor and Shirley MacGyver in what was then the Rangeville Methodist Church. It has run continuously since then due to our faithful God and what would now be hundreds of faithful men and women. It encompasses science, craft and physical training activities. Jesus is the chief space pilot. His character and teaching permeate all our activities. The junior club is for primary boys from year two, and the senior club is for both boys and girls in high school. We meet here on almost every Friday night that state school is on, which means we go longer than the other programs, people. Anyway, now I've lost my place. Oh. We meet here on every Friday night between the hours of 6:15 and 8:15, which is about the same time as Grace Girls and Youth Group. Have we got some photos up there yet? They come on. Hey. Okay. Space Pilots, or Spaces for short, is one of the gems in the crown of Rangeville Community Church. But it's also truly part of the body of Christ in Toowoomba. The members, leaders and helpers within the club come from churches all over town. I don't know if you've heard it, but that's a theme for what we've been talking about. It just, that has come out and out and out again. All over town. Within the club is another gem, the Fathers and Sons Camp. This has been a feature since, I believe, 1969. Can anybody correct me on that? About 69, it's been going constantly ever since. The camps have been an outstanding, joyful, friendly, encouraging, challenging, building and purposeful times. Fathers and their sons and or daughters are away together for the weekend. There have been many sites, Shannon Park, Lake Leslie, Perseverance Dam, Lake Dyer, Crestbrook Dam, Kajarawan Youth Camp, and now Glengarry Education Centre. Camp starts on Friday night. We meet at the campsite and get settled in. There are no formal activities on Friday night. Come Saturday and the fun begins. After breakfast, we're into Space Olympics. How shall I explain Space Olympics? Basically, a set of physical challenges the boys move through in a circuit with their crewmates. Don't tell anyone, but it's really just an excuse to get muddy and wet. Time to clean up. Then comes food. after lunch is bicycle trial. This is a real favourite for many, a time to pit your skills and athleticism against your mates. Though I seem to remember a time when it started years ago, it was simply a quiet ride through the bush. It's not like that now. It's very competitive. Anyway, then it's time for electives. These change from year to year depending on the skills of the dads and leaders. They could be water rockets or kite making, art painting, microscopy, paper plane making, photography, canoeing or sailing. After using up all that energy, it's obviously time to use up some more on a bushwalk, maybe down the range from Highfields to Spring Bluff and back. After that, you will need food. Saturday evening is for the Spacey's Variety Concert, a time to show off your skills on stage in music and drama of many and varied kinds. Tired now, and maybe time for bed or perhaps to sit around the fire. Rise and shine, it's Sunday morning. After breakfast, it's time for the gathering. This is a time to sing some songs to our great God and listen to some stories about his son Jesus and what he's done for us. Now it's time for the iconic Spacey's camp feature, Billy Carts. These are a couple of trials through a couple of courses. I'm sure you can use your imagination to understand the atmosphere, the excitement and anticipation where big boys and little boys and not so little girls get together for such an event. This is such great fun. Time for lunch. Then time to clean up and get ready for home. Finally, the great fun of the adults versus children tug of war. These camps are so worthwhile. There is such a great camaraderie and friendship. There are lifelong memories made. And experiences, we pray, that will help shape and steer us in the ways of our chief space pilot, Jesus Christ. The other day I was leaving work. I was following a fellow down the stairs of the office. I hadn't met him before. I asked his name. He said he was Ben. I guess Ben to be in his late 30s. We fell into conversation. He told me he knew Brett Humphrey. He said he knew Brett Humphrey was a friend of mine. Brett is a work colleague of us both and was a Spacey squadron leader for many years. He and his family go to Living Grace. Turns out Ben had been a space pilot when he was a child. He told me how special those memories are to him and especially the Fathers and Sons Camp. Can I leave you with a Spacey's recipe? Banana and chocolate melted. Take a good banana and split it down the bent side. Stuff it full of chocolate buttons. Wrap it in foil. Put it in the coals of a fire, as long as it takes to melt the chocolate. Then, when cool enough to handle, eat with a spoon. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Isn't that awesome? Father and Sons Camp is an incredible time, and as Scott said, I've attended quite a few. And I just love the fact that one of the good things about it is because a lot of the dads who come are not from Rangeville. They don't know who I am. They go, so what do you do? And so I have lots of incognito conversations. And there's a whole lot of fun around that. But this year, the campsite, which has been used for a number of years, Camp Kajarawan, which was owned by Lutheran Church, has just been closed. So all the bookings have been made. We'd already started to receive payments for registration, etc. And then they advised us that they were closing down and couldn't honour the camp booking. So our amazing leaders in a very short amount of time have been able to find an alternative campsite, which is really awesome. And one of the big advantages of that was for the last few years at Father and Sons Camp, the campsite hasn't had enough room. So we've had, I think, 70 beds available, and all of those have been filled and booked out weeks and weeks and weeks before the camp actually happens. So one of the advantages is the new campsite is a bigger campsite, so we can have more boys and more dads come, which is just fantastic. One of the challenges is that it's the campsite, new site, is a fair bit dearer. And so we've been trying to work out, well, what do we do there? Because some families have been paying off their registration fee week by week in small increments so that they could actually make or raise the funds that they needed through small payments week by week. And so we've been reticent to raise the cost of registration at short notice for those people. So this morning, one of the things I do want to do is just create an opportunity. If you've got a heart for Space Pilots and Fathers and Sons camps, and you'd like to sow into that camp with the opportunity to say, hey, we would love to just pay for or contribute towards the cost for families who wouldn't be able to afford that increased cost, then can you please just pray into that? And if you want to do that, then just pop an offering into the white box at the back, which is where we put our tithes and offerings. Just maybe next week, just stick an envelope with Spaceys or Space Pilots written on it. Or if you want to give electronically, just reference Space Pilots. But we would love to be able to just see some funds made available to be able to support families for that Fathers and Sons camp. Because your giving to that would really affirm and bless some of those boys and their families and help them to be part of that camp that weekend. So this morning, you've heard some great stories, haven't you, of wonderful things that are happening in the life of the church. And I really appreciate what Scott said. You know, the consistent theme across all these three has been that it's citywide. It's a heart for people across our city and region, much wider as well, who come in and are partnering together to see the name of Jesus Christ be glorified, to see people have the opportunity to meet Christ through our volunteers, through our leaders, through our people. And so whether it's affirming people who are homeless and giving them hope and value, whether it's our youth and our youth leaders, whether it's our Space Pilots on Friday nights or our Grace Girls that we haven't heard about tonight, but you'll have opportunities to hear about that. It's so important to bless and encourage these young people or these people of all ages. And so this morning's really been a story of testimony and affirmation. So let me just close this time together in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you that you are at work in people's lives in wonderful and beautiful ways. There are many different ministries across the life of the church. This morning we've just heard of three. But there are many more that are doing amazing things and touching people's lives in beautiful and wonderful ways. And we thank you for each and every one. But Lord, this morning we do thank you for lives that have been transformed, particularly through the children of Spaceys and Grace Girls and the young people in youth. As Ben said, they face incredible challenges and how good it is to be able to gather around them and give an alternative to what the world is throwing at them, to what the online environment is throwing at them, that they would experience personal relationship with people who genuinely care for them and genuinely want to see their lives given the hope that is available to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray blessings now upon the ministries of this church. We pray blessings, Lord, also that we know ministry is not confined within the four walls of the church. We know it goes outside that because we've heard that this morning as well. But, Lord, every person who goes out is ministering in the name of Jesus Christ when they are in their workplace, their home, their community group. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help each of us to minister in the way that you have called us to minister out of who you've called us to be as your children. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.